Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Finding True Wealth. We just hit 1 million subscribers, so thank you for spreading the word. I'm just kidding. This is Nick Hopwood, and I do want to thank you for subscribing. And I definitely appreciate those of you who have provided positive feedback and comments. Recently, we hosted Health Yields Wealth, Detox for Life, an event that we held at Power Performance Gym in Livonia, Michigan. Today's podcast is simply the recording of that event, so it's about twice as long as what we've been putting out so far. Listen to the whole thing. It gets better as it progresses. Our panel features Ben Knapp of Power Performance Gym, Dr. Stacy Ford of First Choice Chiropractic, and Coach Callie Bradford of Go Smoothies. I hope you enjoy.
Power Performance Gym strives to create a high-quality training and behavioral modification environment that's always pushing for continuous improvement, not only for ourselves, but also for our clients. We're also very, very happy to be hosting an awesome event. I've done only a few of these seminars, but I found myself always reminding everybody that's in the room is it's also a Thursday night. So a lot of people have made some concessions to be here. We probably maybe have some television we'd maybe rather be watching, but being here, it's also an outward expression. It's an outward expression of individuals also coming together collectively as a group for the sake of well, or more, or knowledge. And so for that, you guys should all give yourself a little internal round of applause, or an external is great as well. So I'm very happy to be there you go. So I'm very happy to also be a part of it. So I'm gonna kind of, you guys, everybody got folders, just a couple of reminders is we do have, well, one thing I heard about information, okay? Information is best when applied. We also have very, very poor retention. So if you happen to hear any information tonight that you believe would be of value to your life or maybe somebody else's life, those are called silver bullets. I think it'd be a good idea to maybe write them down so we don't forget. So we provided you with some pens and some paper for that. We also have a little connection sheet in there as well for some basic information about you, and we'd love some feedback on the night that we've put together tonight. We'll also be using those cards too. We're going to be doing some raffle drawings at the end of the night, so a few of you will be lucky recipients of. We have some detoxification programs. We have some massage giveaways. We have awesome kits from Kaylee and her smoothies and juices. And I've also provided a training package too. And some tigers, because I didn't write them all down, but there's a lot, so it's worth hanging out. So we'll try to limit the and-ums and get right to the point. So what I want to do is I want to turn it over to the main MC of the night and the gentleman that put this all together. It's been awesome getting to know him and actually being able to work with him. So I don't screw it up, I wanted to read a little bit about Nick. So Nick is a certified financial planner and founder of Peak Wealth Management. It's located in Plymouth. Nick, with over 16 years of financial coaching, has been named five-star wealth management by our Detroit magazine every year since 2008. Pretty impressive. Furthermore, yes, but yeah, there's a lot of excited people in here for that. That's great. Furthermore, he has been named part of the Chairman's Club every year since 2008, which represents the top 5% of advisors nationwide. Nick graduated with an economics degree from the University of Michigan. Nick serves as the chairman of the board of the New Hope Center for Grief Support. He's also active with the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Dexter, and he's been married to his lovely wife, Jennifer, for nearly 12 years, and he has two boys, Hunter and Jack, ages 8 and 6. Nick's burning desire is to use his tools to help you understand what your definition of true wealth is and to put you on the path towards getting there. So I'd like to turn it over to Nick Hopwood.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the warm introduction. And again, this microphone is not amplified, okay? It's just for looks, all right? So thanks everyone for coming to Health Yields Wealth Detox for Life. And I wanna thank Ben and the staff at Power Performance for hosting tonight.
in the lovely gym. So let's thank Ben and his crew. Ben mentioned some of the good door prizes. Again, when you turn in the evaluation sheet, we'll do a drawing at the end. We have a lot of good stuff like he mentioned, but I'd also like to point out one thing he forgot. Since it's a healthy topic tonight, I figured I'd throw in some McDonald's coupons and McDonald's gift certificates. And I'm sorry for the late start, but if you look at the clock on the wall over there, the red one, it says 7:29, always 7 minutes fast. So on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday mornings, when I'm here and it says 7 a.m., I still have 7 more minutes left in my workout, unfortunately. So my question for you guys today is, have you ever heard of the 45-year-old who dropped dead of a heart attack and no one can understand why? You've heard of that story? Yep. I think we all know someone or have heard of that story at least once in our life. And so the reason why I wanted to put on this event, or at least co-sponsor it, was because a few years back, I was told that I was on that path. So that was kind of a rude wake-up call. And it's like, you have people that they say, I saw him last week, he looked great. We just played golf yesterday, I can't believe it. And so there are a lot of things that that are happening on the inside that maybe you don't see on the outside. So why are we here? Besides that point, a few months ago I saw a survey that said for retirees, the number one concern was healthcare, not insurance, but actually their health. And for years, for my entire career, the number one concern was always, do I have enough money? Will I run out of money in retirement? And so now for the first time, we've seen the number one concern become healthcare. So I took notice of that. I thought that was pretty important. And then also, I'll share my story in a few minutes, but I wanted to bring in the folks that I've relied on for information and have them spread the good word to you guys in case you haven't heard it yet. So my goal for you specifically is to take away 2 golden nuggets of information so that you can implement in your life starting tomorrow. So who knows what the price of gold is per ounce right now? Anyone? Jennifer? Okay, it's about $1,250, okay? It was maybe $1,300 last week. So if we take away 2 golden nuggets, that's like $2,500, right? But the reality is, it's months and years of time added to your life. So think about that for a second. So during the talk with our presenters, I want you to keep in mind the question and think to yourself, am I at my best today? Because if you had McDonald's for lunch, or if you didn't have 7 hours of sleep last night, or if you had too much to drink yesterday, you're probably not at your best. And so that affects us in many ways. You know, it can be with your relationships, with your family, with your friends, coworkers. It can affect your performance on the job, and ultimately affect how you make decisions. And maybe if you're not at your best, it's going to affect your career, your relationships over a long period of time. So I think it's those intangibles that are interesting to think about. And in that light, I truly believe that health does yield wealth. So my firm's mission is to use our process to help you uncover what your definition of true wealth actually is. So my job is to help you figure that out and help you get there. And wealth is much more than just your investment account. It's different for everyone. So we really enjoy, you know, asking questions and finding out what's the most important thing to people. So are you ready for my story? So I was at a business networking group, and a local naturopathic medical doctor asked the question about the 45-year-old who drops dead of a heart attack. And I was like, wow, you know, that's terrible. I want to figure out. She would suggest that, no, it's not a surprise. There are markers. There's things that you can do, tests you can take to figure out if you're at risk. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm doing the annual physical, I'm going to my local, or to my family doctor, and doing the blood work, and doing the cough thing, right? And I found out that, you know, I have good cholesterol, and so you walk away and you're feeling good. But in reality, we weren't doing all the tests. So I met with this doctor and we went through the blood work and found out that I had elevated levels of homocysteine and HSCRP, which are two cardiac markers that you can find in your blood work. And when they're elevated in tandem, it's the silent killer. It's the walking heart attack. So I have a high stress job, high pressure, right? And so I understand, I was shocked, but I understood that. So I said, well, what do I do? And so we put together a plan. Oh, by the way, I also did a saliva test where you spit into a little test tube. They sent it off to the lab, and I found out that I have really high estrogen levels. Who would have thought, right? Okay, this is my testimony, okay? Dr. Stacy will be talking. She said, hey, look, if you have these extra hormones, there's nowhere for them to go. So if they're lingering and loitering, they're going to cause problems. So I had to flush those out. We wanted to get these cardiac levels down and get the hormone levels down. And so I began my journey with smoothies and juice and detox and cleansing and exercise. And so by a couple years later, everything was perfect. So it works. And we're going to share all that stuff today. Thank you. The homocysteine and the HSCRP and estrogen. Okay. So, So when it comes to exercise, you know, I lost weight doing all the detox and everything. And I usually when I reach my goal, I would, you know, kind of fall back into old ruts. But I thought, once I reach the goal, what can I do to really stay focused? So I thought, I'll run a marathon, right? That seems impossible. And I decided, well, that's maybe too much. So I did a half marathon instead. But it was such a large goal for me, not being a runner, that I was scared of failing. And so I worked out as hard as I could and, you know, ultimately succeeded because I was afraid of not finishing. You know, that was a high motivator for me. So we decided to just keep doing the half marathons. So it was part nutrition, adding in foods, taking away foods, and the exercise. So it all worked. So we're going to go through all that tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to bring up our panel. Let's start with Dr. Stacy. Come on down. So Stacy is originally from Iowa. She's a Hawkeye. Proud Hawkeye. Her husband and business partner is Dr. Tucker. Where's Tucker? There he is. He's a little shy. Stacy and Tucker have two boys, Harrison and Garrett, and yes, it's Harrison Ford, right?
We didn't think he'd still be this popular.
Yeah. So Dr. Stacy is Dr. Stacy Ford. Okay. All right, so she's been a doctor of chiropractic since 1996. She's licensed in Michigan, Kansas, and Texas. Tucker and Stacy are owners of First Choice Chiropractic in Northville since 2003. And she's been on the board of directors at the Northville Chamber of Commerce since 2006. And she's been treating me since 2004. So let's welcome Dr. Stacy.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Coach Callie Bradford. Come on down, Callie. Callie is a holistic health coach, speaker, entrepreneur, and writer. She has over 18 years in the health industry. She earned her health coach certification from Integrated Nutrition, and she studied over 100 different dietary theories. Now, she's also the CEO of Go Smoothies and Go Press Juice, which are located in Detroit, and she's founded Next Generation Fit Kids in 2008, which is a nonprofit started to engage the community to fight against childhood obesity, and that's a real problem, isn't it?
It is a real problem, for sure.
She's been featured on TV, radio, magazines, and now just for us. So let's welcome Coach Callie.
Thank you.
Last but not least is Benjamin Knapp.
Nice.
Ben is a strength and conditioning coach, nutrition counselor, and owner of Power Performance Gym here in Livonia. Ben's wife is Renee. Renee, say hello. And daughter Sophia. Ben's been in the health and wellness industry since 2003. His personal success in the fitness industry means you've helped others to be more successful in their lives. Ben is very happy to be able to make a living by helping others, and he believes that his longevity in this industry simply boils down to results, period. So let's welcome Ben. Okay, so this is my first time as the moderator, so bear with me. Okay. So, Stacy, we can start with you. Can you please tell us your story? Why do you do what you do? What motivates you every morning when you get out of bed?
Oh, boy. And I was really disappointed that this isn't amplified because I've been fighting laryngitis, so I'm going to do my best. I know, Jennifer, if I'm not loud enough, yell, give me the evil eye. I have been a chiropractor for 20 years now. I originally was a Hawkeye, and I was studying to be a pharmacist. So I met my husband, who comes from a family of chiropractors, and then little by little, obviously my choice in education changed. So I've been a chiropractor now with him. We've always been, you know, directed towards health and wellness just because of our profession. But before, I was very active. I had a fabulous trainer, much like Ben. I was doing very well in my physical fitness, and I had 3 major accidents in 18 months and broke many bones. Had a lot of emotional breakdown for all the hard work I had done, and I still work on that. But then through the years, as our practice has grown, it's changed. 20 years ago, we did not have the influx of chemicals, dirty food, all the craziness that's out there when Callie talks about the children. And so we started noticing that we weren't getting the same results chiropractically with patients just because their tissues weren't the same. So through that, we started doing extra education, spending more time mainly on cellular metabolism, you know, which sounds kind of boring and weird, but basically food and what we're doing to ourselves and kind of what's happening and where we could move our practice in the direction to help our clients just get healthier, stronger, and just live a better life.
Okay.
That's great.
Kelly, how are you? Oh, thank you. I love how she said dirty food. I'm sorry using that. That resonated with y'all, didn't it? She said dirty food. So my story is about my own journey. So about, my son is 10 now, I would say 11 years ago, my body was ravaged with fibroid tumors. I had 5 surgeries all by the time I was 30. And I'm only 32 now. No, I'm actually 44. So I had 5 surgeries, and all of them were about fibroids, high estrogen floating around in my body as well. So that last surgery, I was like, I've got to do something different, because it was kind of like, you know, the doctor was threatening, saying, you know, if you may not be able to have kids, you may have to have a hysterectomy, and that scared me. I mean, to life, really, essentially. And after I had that final surgery, I said, I'm going to do something differently. I got to figure this out. And so I started doing my own research, my own studying about fibroids and what caused them and why they kept coming back. And it all led to the same thing, dirty food, and then also some of the high estrogen foods that I was eating. So I kind of started out, you know, dibbling and dabbling and being a vegetarian, took some meat out of my diet. Consume mostly vegetables and fruit, but I was still consuming meat, still consuming caffeine, still consuming sugar, which sugar is also very bad for us. But we're gonna give you all the great things that you can have and not focus on the things you can't have. But at that point, I said, you know what, I don't want to go down the same road I was going down. I was gaining weight and I didn't have a lot of energy, and I was still only in my 30s. And so that's when I said, I'm going to make a change, and I'm going to make it a complete lifestyle change. And so I became a vegan. I've been vegan now for probably about 4.5 years, but I was a strict vegetarian before that. I actually started out being a junk food vegetarian. How many of y'all know what a junk food vegetarian or junk food vegan is? Yeah, so I ate everything but animals. But now I'm a strict vegetarian, a strict vegan. But I cannot say I've not been healthier, happier. I had the most energy that I've ever had. And my son even looks at pictures of me when I was like 18 and 19, even early 30s. And he was like, Mom, did you eat meat back then? And I said, yeah. He goes, I can tell. Because you can tell the difference in how I look then to how I look now. And he actually said, you look a lot younger and more vibrant than you did back then. So that's my story.
Awesome. Thank you. Those are both great stories. Thank you guys for that. My story is a lot less glamorous. I got into the journey. Really, it was a bad idea. It was a shot in the dark, open up a nutrition store. Okay, so I really just, trying, it seemed like a cool thing. I was lifting a little bit, mildly athletic, and I saw a lot of people buying a lot of stuff. So it sounded like a great business plan. So just to be a really, really good customer servant, I decided to learn and understand a little bit better about my product so I could sell it. Then hence I had to spend a little bit more time with my clients and understanding their needs. So really what kind of happened there was a little bit of an energy shape shift. So to excel in business, or maybe it was even just an extension of the ego, we had to start, we really start having to figure some things out. We really had to start helping some people, that's how you develop a reputation. So the shape shift in energy just kind of started molding me, okay? So I started actually becoming more like my clients. I started wanting to be as health conscious as them and not just sell the product. So it really just became, I guess, uncontrollable at this point. I can't really see myself doing anything else. So as Nick mentioned in my bio, I guess I keep sticking it out because we keep getting results. And so when other people talk about us and other people send us our way, it just makes us, again, continue want to start the change in ourselves first and make sure it trickles down into our client base. So that's kind of why I've hung around this long.
Pass it on down. Did everyone enjoy the vegetable juice and smoothies? Pretty good, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so my wife will tell you that when we got our Costco membership a long time ago, I'm like, look at all this V8 we can buy. It's great. It's got fruits and vegetables. And I'm like, here, honey, have some V8. Drink it. And she's like, I don't want to. I'm like, it's got vegetables. Why would you not want to? So, Callie, can you please explain the difference between the V8 product and your product?
Very good question, and I'm glad that she did not drink the V8. No. So the difference is, and I'm going to throw the question out to you all. So how long do fruits and vegetables last in your refrigerator? Less than a week, right? A few days, less than a week. So the bottom line is, why would you buy a juice that lasts for 30 days or 6 months or a year for that matter? Because fruits and vegetables are living organisms, and so because they are living plants, so because they are living, they have a small shelf life, which is what you want. You want to put breathing, living food into your body, which creates your body where it's got good oxygen, and you get the nutrients that you need to be able to fight off disease and have the energy that you want, and really it's the fountain of youth. So that's one of the reasons why. And then, a lot of times they put a lot of other chemicals in there, some of which you cannot pronounce. And they also process it to make it last longer. So if it's going in your body is more likely not recognizing it as food at that point, because it's been so chemically changed at that point that, there is no recognition of food. And then the other part of it is just the sugar, because they know that if I put more sugar in it, then people are gonna buy it. There's this little transmitter in the brain that makes you feel good when you have sugar, so you consume more and more of these fruit juices that are on the shelf that aren't really as good for you as something that, again, is living and doesn't last for 6 months.
So what about the cold press method?
Yeah. So at Go Press Juice, we use the cold press method, and really it's essentially the way that the juice machine works. It's a slower process. And so you're going to get most of the nutrients out. And I'll tell you, when I started my own juicing regimen 10 years ago, I started with the Jack LaLanne, which is a great juicer for somebody that's starting out. Yeah, for sure. But then I slowly progressed. I know somebody in here talked about the Champion, which is really the Cadillac of, juicers that you can use at home. And then we went to a masticating juicer, an Omega juicer at home as well. But for the cold press, again, it's just the process. It's a much slower process, so you get the majority of the nutrients out, which again is what you want. Because a lot of times people talk about, well, I'm not getting the fiber that I need, which is true because it's juice, but you get the majority of the nutrients. And then when your fruit and vegetables come out like really dry, then you know that you're getting the nutrients that you need out of the fruit and vegetables and herbs. Yep, good question.
We need to invest in microphones. I think it might be a good buy. Okay, Dr. Stacy, on the same kind of theme, like with things you can buy in Kroger and Costco versus what you would recommend, what about whole food supplements versus a one-a-day vitamin? What's the difference there?
Well, if anybody knows anybody who works in the water department, they'll tell you that every day someone has to go down and clean the filters out from the one-a-days. Because basically they're just running right through your body as chunks, ending up in the sewer system. So we know that that's true. Whole food, just like Callie said, food is food. It's what our body's DNA was designed to take nutrients from and take energy from. The nutraceutical business is a very, very, very big business, as Ben can, you know, contest when he had his own store. And Zerbo's is right around the corner, and we actually have a great relationship with the owner of that store. But you can spend a lot of money on nutraceuticals, and there's really cool packaging, and there's really cool advertising. Oh, I'm sorry, vitamins, yeah, vitamins, herbs, and things like that. Now, herbs are food. They grow in the ground, and we eat them. But when you go to a store, or would you say Kroger or Walmart, you're not going to get what's in the bottle. Supplements are not regulated by the FDA, so they can put anything in a bottle, slap a title on it, and you have no way of knowing what's in there. A couple stories went through, you know, what, a year ago, about how they took tons of products off the shelf and tested them independently, and nothing was even in there that they said. So nutraceuticals or vitamins can be very, very powerful, very, very helpful, especially when you're dealing with a current condition or problem that you want to help remedy or get rid of or make a quicker change in your body. So when you're gonna go that route, it's just really important that you know what you're buying, where you're buying it from. And as Nick said, there is a big difference between whole food supplements and then just supplements. A lot of times you'll read a bottle and it'll say, you know, vitamin B3 is blah, 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 big words that you can't read. And it's a chemical, and they can make those chemicals in a lab. Well, your body wants to get its B's from, you know, broccoli and kale and yummy things. So whole food vitamins will actually take the food and squish them, dry them, and stick them in the supplement so that you're actually getting a whole food form. The biggest complaint I hear is, we have to take so many. Like, well, yeah, because it's food squished into a tablet. I can't squish broccoli any smaller. And then I give them the option. If you don't want to take that, then eat the broccoli. Some people aren't ready to eat the broccoli yet. So we get people at all different levels. So that's their choice. But you have to understand, when you are taking a chemical isolate or, you know, just a chemical, something that they made in the lab, your body does not know what to do with that. It's like turning a fire hose on and saying, here, take a drink. You can't. You're not going to benefit from it. But there's a lot of people and places out there that are more than happy to take your money. So, and again, there are places for chemical isolates. Don't get me wrong. There are a time and a place for those when your body really, really needs a nutrient that it's really deficient in. But the most important thing is just make sure that you're getting good advice. You're not reading something off Google. You're not reading something because you saw a commercial on it. It's just really important to understand why you're taking it. Can I get it in a food, or is this a great product that I'm not spending too much money or actually putting something in my body that can be harmful?
Thank you. So Ben, I've been working out with Ben for about the last 2 years, and I like to come in the morning. So I get here by, you know, a couple minutes before 6, and probably before the workout, I've had, you know, I call it my water shake, my water powder. I get some powder stuff from Stacy. It's a little bit of calories, a little bit of food, and then afterwards, it's hit and miss. So Ben, what's your theory on food before and after a workout? And then, since I work out in the morning, can you tie that into like donuts, waffles, muffins, pancakes, and bagels?
awesome. Great question. You know, you have everybody kind of understands the three, you know, everybody, you know, those three meals a day is ideal. I try to isolate the workout specific because it's going to require its own energy. So it's going to be above and beyond what we're doing on a typical day. So to sustain life and maybe to even actually make progress and give the body the fuel that it needs. Post-workout regimens are pretty simple. So it's typical food, like anybody else. Again, you just want to identify food that can be used as an immediate source of fuel. So, and obviously you want to keep your portions low because if you come here, you might find out what you have for breakfast. So, but with that, you know, it's just really basic. Most people, you know, what's perfect and what most people are doing, there's usually a big gap between that. That's, I refer to a lot what it's called the continuum or the health continuum. So even as an individual, if you're not doing anything in the first thing in the morning, especially before a workout, at the very least you can hydrate. But if you get up that early, which Nick, it would be about 4:30 for him, you know, just a modest protein, maybe some nuts to sustain it. And post-workout, it's simply really the same thing. You're just simply replacing the fuel that you used to perform the exercise. And then obviously, so that now leads into the first meal of the day in his case, and wherever you're at in the day, it would just be simply what you did for the workout, and based on where you work out in the day, that would determine whether or not you even eat for the rest of the day, I think.
Okay, Dr. Stacy, I was telling the story about the estrogen and flushing that out, and you recommended I do, for starters, a 21-day purification cleanse. Why did you recommend that, and in my case, and what does all that mean?
Okay, well, first of all, I've known Nick for a long time, and I know that he's a total type A freak personality, but a great guy. No, I've known him for a long, long time. No, he's a great guy. Because again, the 21-day program is wonderful. It's very regimented. It, you know, it does cost a little bit of money, but I knew your schedule. I knew what your life was like. So I was like, listen, let's do this. It's regimented. It's great. But basically what you're doing is, estrogen just needs an organic thing to bind to so you could pee it out. It's really not rocket science, but we had also talked about what he was eating and what he wasn't eating, and a lot of it was what you weren't eating. You weren't eating food. So, right? Yeah, you know what I mean. So a lot of it was a great jump start for him, and it's a great jump start for a lot of people. He's done it a few times because he doesn't like to turn his 21 day into 22 days, 23 days, and 24 days, but sorry, I'm telling on you. But again, it's not rocket science. Our DNA has not changed ever since. So whatever your religious beliefs or background are, it's all the same. It's been the same for a long, long, long time. We have just put ourselves into a zoo, which a lot of people will be like, oh, I live in the concrete jungle. This is not a jungle, it's a zoo. We all live in a zoo. And we're the only species who treats ourselves like, oh, well, I'm special because I do this, or my schedule's this, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. If you wanted to go study the most healthy elephant, would you go to the Bronx Zoo to look at that elephant? Probably not, right? Or SeaWorld. Don't even get me started on SeaWorld, right? Because they have the most healthy orcas ever. No, you would go out to the wild. You would see where they're moving, where they're playing, where they're living with their family, what they're eating. We're the only species who does not do that anymore. So again, with Nick, it was a great way to get him started, very regimented. But basically, those hormones are supposed to be in our body, but just not at those levels. And he just didn't have a way to regulate them and to get rid of them properly, which basically just, you know, it's green stuff. But it's amazing how many people don't eat green stuff. So, and someone even said, they're like, yeah, that no one's touching the green juice. I'm like, the green stuff's the good stuff. So again, it's not rocket science. We've just really turned it into weird stuff, just like we kind of do with everything in our life. We're just kind of weird like that.
Just kind of weird like that. Okay. Coach Callie, I've also done a lot of juicing stuff where my latest thing is I'll have a juicing day like on the 1st and on the 15th and think I'm doing good. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm trying my best. I've recently discovered goat smoothies, which I enjoy very much. Can you tell me what does it mean to detox with juice, and what's, you know, how often, and what does it look like? Is it a 3-day? Am I backwards?
So for people just starting out, like you, Nick, if this was your first juice cleanse, I would say start out on a 3-day juice cleanse. And essentially what you're doing, so say you were to start tomorrow, you would probably have your last meal tonight at around 7 or 8 o'clock, right? And then you wake up in the morning, so you've already had 12 hours of fasting. Your body is already starting to repair itself because it's not digesting at that point. And then you would have your juice. So you're still not digesting, but you're still getting the nutrients in that you need to be able to sustain your life and to be able to improve your cellular health and all the other things in our bodies that need to be repaired. And so essentially by the time you're done with your half a day cleanse, I call it's a 3-day, half day cleanse, you would eat a clean meal, which consists of whole food. So fruits, lots of vegetables. You can even add some lean protein to it if you want. I don't necessarily recommend it all the time, especially if you really have not ever detoxed before and you really want to get clean, you want to stick to just fruit and vegetables, not even nuts for that matter, because some people have a sensitivity to nuts and don't realize that they do, and it could cause problems too. So if you just stick to your fruit and vegetables, and then your body again is in healing mode at that point, because it takes a long time for us to digest food. And if you're constantly grazing, constantly eating all day, your body never, ever, ever gets a chance to go in healing mode, even at night when you're sleeping, because some of us like to eat at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And instead of your body going into sleep mode, repair mode, your body is still digesting food. How long does it take to digest chicken? Anybody in the room know? Dr. Stacy, you know. She's like, I don't know. It takes like 12 hours or more for your body to digest chicken, and pork and beef is actually even longer. So if you think about it, you know, again, you never give your body an opportunity to heal. So to answer your question, I tell people to start out on like a 3-day cleanse. You do a juice until dinner, because some of us don't have the discipline to be able to stay on it, you know, just all juice, 6 juices a day or something like that, which is perfectly fine. Any place that you start is a good place to start. Just start. And then what I do now, so I've been doing cleanses, you know, probably 7 or 8 years. So I cleanse like once a week now. And sometimes I do it on a Monday. I'm not as regimented as Nick is. Sometimes I do it on a Monday. Sometimes I do it on a Wednesday. It just kind of depends. And I won't have any food. And again, it just gives my body an opportunity to heal itself at that point. And now I do a full either 3-day or 7-day cleanse at least one time a month. And I've been doing it now, like I said, for about 7 years.
You're welcome. 44, guys. I'm glad you said that on the 3 days, it's a half a day, because I don't think I could do it. But with half days, I know I could. So, Ben, I said that I like to work out in the morning, but, you know, what's the optimal time of day to exercise? How often should we be exercising? What does exercise even mean to you? And finally, if you have someone who's kind of a beginner versus kind of a more veteran, or someone younger versus older, do you take different approaches with their training?
Awesome questions. Actually, I think this even taps into, you asked me about the waffles and bagels and everything like that. I didn't answer, you know, I'm usually not, I don't script, but it's a great question. And even with these extremely intelligent ladies to the left, it's like they're given a lot of wonderful information. So I use in here, because my environment's very intimate, I use a needs analysis, okay? So every single person's unique today. I know where I want everyone to be, and that's way over here, just awesome, six-pack jacked, healthy, and live to be 120, because I think that's what we were designed to be. So it's needs. So what's perfect and what's better today, I think, is relative. So exercise is no different than my, you know, as far as how I view nutrition. I view it the exact same way. So again, so if somebody's not eating breakfast, I guess maybe a waffle with an egg. I don't advocate it, but it's a place to start. Okay. So unfortunately, what happens when you start that early in the day, I call it chasing your tail. Okay. The first meal of the day, first thoughts of the day, the first point of hydration of the day, it's really going to dictate how your brain functions for the day. So you want to give it its absolute best fuel possible. So going to the time of day to exercise. I can go back and forth on this. Part of me, I really like what they refer to as like Earth Law, okay? Just basically meaning the sun rises, so we wake up, and the sun sets, so we go to bed. So that's kind of what I mean by that. So based on those kind of rhythms, and she talked about digestion, and that's really perfect. 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock p.m. is the best time of day to work out, okay? I don't know if you've ever heard, but people that have like stroked out in the gym, most of those happen actually before like 10 a.m. And as the doctors can tell you, usually that's just, we have higher blood pressure in the morning, okay? So we have very, very poor circulation. And again, a lot, and rarely do any of us actually start our day, again, with good hydration and good food. So again, we're not putting ourselves in the best position to train under those circumstances. Perhaps later in the day, maybe we've hydrated and we've also gotten a couple of meals. So we're just better prepared for that. So my continuum is no different from whether it's an expert lifter, an athlete, or a beginner. It's always needs-based, okay? Because I want everybody to be athletes, but not everybody's ready for this movement or that exercise or this much training volume. So every single person is relative, and that's actually what I love most about this place, because that's how we do it. We take an individual person, we assess them for who they are, and then we build and design a blueprint that moves them forward. And as long as we are moving in a positive direction, one day leads to to another. So that's my approach.
So I need to change my time. Thank you. Now, when I was in high school, everyone thought that you had to eat a low-fat diet. Okay, it was like, fat is terrible. You know, everything on the packaging is fat-free. So I thought that, for example, you could have a bag of pretzels that said, you know, fat-free, and I thought that I was doing the right thing. But I think we know better today, right? So, it leads you into the low carb. Ladies, tell me, what do you think about, you know, good fats and bad fats and carbs and all that good stuff? Pretzels.
Okay, we could talk all night about this. We really could. And one thing, when you said, oh, I think we know better, we don't. As a population, we do not know better. We, every single day, I run into patients who still are on that, is that on that 80s fat-free kick, the snack whales kick. And it's surprisingly horrifying at how much education it really takes for them to be like, huh, I guess I didn't really realize, because it's been ingrained for us for decades and decades and decades, even though we have more and more and more and more heart disease, diabetes, and we're all just basically dying at a much younger age. So it's cool that you say that, oh, I think we know better, but the bottom, that's a huge argument that is far, far, far from being over. And when it comes to it, because again, I think we could talk for hours on this, it comes down to real food, real food, real food, real food. We hear a lot about the paleo diet. I like to just tell people to just, you know, either close your eyes or imagine what it would be like to be running around on the plains of North America as a Native American, like 300 years ago. You know, they were buff, they were beautiful. On a slow day, they walked 12 miles. If you weren't fast enough to chase down your food, you didn't eat. And you know, you had to go and look for all your food. So everything that went into their mouth was real food, real food, real food, real food. So when we start manipulating things that's been around, growing, given to us by the sun, by, you know, whatever, if something ate it and then we ate it, when we start messing with that as a, you know, superior species, that's where we get in trouble. And it's ridiculous. We took wonderful, wonderful fats, and they told everybody that, oh, you know what, we're gonna eat this molecule that's like one ingredient away from plastic, and that's so much better for you. And Kelly already touched on the sugar. Anything, when they take the fat out, it tastes horrible, so they have to add sugar. So again, big, big topic, but please don't think for a minute that it's a topic that's been, what, finalized, because it's not. And a lot of people are still really, really, really confused. We see every day in our practice, we see 300-pound diabetics who still think they're supposed to be eating, you know, margins, and they just don't get the message. And again, don't even get me started on
margarine.
It's plastic. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to yell. It's plastic. You do know that, right? You know that.
Real butter.
Real butter, baby. So, I forgot what I was gonna say. That's okay. Real food.
So,
We're so like on the same page about, you know, what to do, because I learned a long time ago. So the thing is, we got to be more discerning in reading the labels. And I know marketing does a great job. You know, marketing is what it is. It's marketing. So we can buy products so the companies can make more money. So they do whatever it takes. You know, they study us like we're little animals behind the gates, and they study us and our buying habits and what we like and what we don't like. They study our brains and what, you know, we can get addicted to and all those things. And so then they market to us based on the information that they've collected. So I learned, and I was one, I love me some Country Crock. I swore by Country Crock. Even when I started getting healthier, I swore by it. And then one day I went to a class and it was about label reading. And it was all about, you know, you don't know what you don't know when it comes to your food. And so we went and looked at the label of Crunchy Crock, and I was mortified because I had never done it. I had never done it. And there was like 10 different ingredients, maybe more, you know, half of which I couldn't even pronounce, and I had no idea what it was. And like Dr. Stacy said, it's like one step away from plastic, not to mention all the other stuff that they put in it that our body, again, just can't handle. So from that point on, I started using butter. But remember back in the 80s, they told us butter was bad. Everybody was, you know, going to these margarines and Country Crock. But, you know, butter is the best thing for you, because what's in butter?
Cream.
Cream and salt. That's it. Nothing else. So that's what you want to look at. Make sure that you're discerning and read your labels, because your labels will tell you a lot. And just think about it this way. If there's more than four ingredients in a product, you may want to be more discerning. And especially if you can't pronounce it, then you definitely want to say, maybe I'll stick to something that's in the produce area that's just kale. You know what I'm saying? So that's my philosophy. And so good fat, avocado, you know, nuts, if you can tolerate nuts, are good. Coconut oils, you know, they have flax oil. You can put flax oil in your smoothies. You can even put it in your juice. Those kind of oils are really, really good for you. So everybody say fat is good. Fat is good, but just not the ones that are really chemically laden.
Yeah, well, have you guys ever heard the joke about like the caveman who had like the Triscuits and put the meat on top of Triscuits? Nah, because it doesn't exist, all right? So, and they were pretty jacked back then. I actually, again, these guys give an awesome description of fats. I had the really awesome opportunity that when I work with people, like if I say, hey, I need you to crawl on this carpet all the way down, you don't get to say, yeah, I was kind of thinking maybe I would just go over here and do this, okay? So when I get to tell people, I huge believe in fat. I don't believe in carbohydrates hardly at all, unless they're green and maybe an occasional sweet potato. But so because people come here, they accept me as a resource. They do typically what I ask them to do. Fats work. Okay. So when I get people doing more of them, they get lean, they get happier, they get healthier, they have better energy. So the wheel's round. So if you don't feel like researching it, if you don't want to Google it, just trust the people who are trying to earn a living with it, and the people who are motivated by results. So.
What you guys are saying is a good segue to my next question. Callie, you mentioned peanuts. Ben, I think you mentioned nuts, and you just mentioned wheat. So our kids' school, they're not allowed to bring peanuts into the school. No peanut butter, nothing. And when I was a kid, you know, I had that every day, peanut butter and jelly every single day. And on a flight that we were just on, the flight attendant came over the PA and said, we're not having peanuts today because there's a terrible peanut allergy. So we're not even gonna bring them out. And when I was a kid, that was your only choice. You know, it was the Northwest peanuts, honey roasted peanuts. That was it. Remember those? So my question is, what's going on with the peanut butter and then the gluten? And you know, with the gluten, I didn't even know what that was 5 years ago. And now no one can have it. So what's going on here?
All right, let's talk about wheat first. Okay. Wheat is hybridized. It's been hybridized since the 60s for greater yield. Gluten's always been around. People have eaten whole grains. Even, you know, we've always eaten them. They've always been around for a long, long, not always, but a long, long time. But when they started messing with how they produced it, the gluten actually today in some products is 40 times higher than what it should be in a natural gluten. When we're working with patients, we have patients who just aren't ready to give up their pasta. I mean, they're just like, I can't live without pasta Monday. So what we've done, and it actually surprises them, and it's a great way for them to open their eyes about reading labels. I'm like, listen, if you're going to do the pasta, you cannot buy the dollar box of pasta. go to the Cantero's. I can say that. We should have them sponsor this. But Cantero's actually imports a lot of their pasta because hybridized wheat is not legal in Europe. They do not allow it. We eat food that is not allowed by law in most countries in the world, which should give you food for thought as well.
Well, I used to be in pharma, so I am no longer, so I'm not bound by those regulations. But, you know, and really it boils down to just a lot of cross-contamination with our food, too. And then we talked about the gluten and genetically modified, you know, organisms and things, again, that our bodies were not meant to have. And then the other thing of it, too, Dr. Stacy, without even getting into the whole pharmaceutical issue around it, is that our gut health is not as good as it was. And you guys probably don't realize this, but you pass down your gut health to your child. And hence, your child will come out with, I've got a gluten allergy. Now, every kid in the school has some type of nut sensitivity or a full-blown nut allergy. And it's really because, you know, our gut health is not optimal because we're putting so much stuff in there that the body cannot really digest, and it's just laying in there, and just really it's not a good situation. So healthy bacteria is good because the healthy bacteria is what helps us thrive, but when we don't have enough of the normal flora to be able to, you know, digest food appropriately and use the right enzymes and that kind of thing, then you get into a situation where you have bad gut health. And bad gut health translates to, you know, gas and bloating and not going to the bathroom to defecate, poop, whatever you want to call it, at least every time you have a meal. How many of us, and everybody can close their eyes so nobody is watching, but how many of us, close your eyes, how many of us go to the bathroom every time we eat a meal? How many of us do it? So a few hands went up, right? A few hands. But technically, just like a baby or just like an animal, when an animal eats food, right, what do they do after 20, 30 minutes after? They poop. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So if you're not pooping like that, then you have to look into your gut health, because really the core is the core. It's the center of everything. And it's really the key to our overall health. And so many things actually come out of not having good gut health in terms of just dis-ease is what I like to call it. So
we never talk about poop in the prep meetings.
Sorry. Yeah, poop is awesome.
We talk about the color of poop, how many times you poop, the smell of poop, the consistency of poop.
Callie hit on a great point though, because there's entire, I actually have a really good friend who her entire practice is just on prenatal wellness and health for the mother, to preparing the health of her to grow a baby, and the majority of it is on gut health. When you have a leaky gut and you eat nuts, like we all eat nuts or some sort of protein, that is the number one enemy when it hits the bloodstream. And then if it hits a fetal bloodstream, if the fetal bloodstream registers protein, it's like, holy crap, we're under attack, because what is DNA? Protein. So it registers as a direct attack on itself and on its own sense of survival. So you get the peanut allergies. And I know it's probably a pain for parents who don't have those in their life, but when you have a child with an anaphylactic allergy for peanuts, it's horrifying. And I know, and now, you know, it causes issues and people get upset and they get stressed, but we actually have anaphylactic patients in our practice, and it's sad when they have to worry about getting a little peanut protein on them, otherwise they're gonna. Peanuts, because peanuts are in so many of our foods, and again, not to get, you know, weird on you, because I know a lot of this stuff is new to you, but peanut oil is a very, very popular medium to grow pharmaceutical products. And so it's introduced into our bodies, it's introduced into our infant's body really early, and just based on the way that it works, they can clean the product from the protein. But it's still in there, and it takes one molecule to start a autoimmune reaction, and then it's not even overexposure. That's a great no. Any exposure especially when it hits fetal blood or our blood, autoimmune disease is rampant. And we're all like, oh, what's all this autoimmune? And you have to break it down. It's autoimmune. We are eating ourselves. We are attacking ourselves. What has happened? And so again, the poo question comes up a lot. We talk, if you hang out with me, you're gonna talk about poo.
Right. I just have one more thing to add to that too. Yeah, so here's a easy way for you to know if your gut health is suffering from, you know, like a nut sensitivity. Because some people don't go into a full-blown nut allergy where you got to have your EpiPen and you go to the hospital kind of thing. But it shows up in other ways. So if after you eat nuts, you become bloated or you are passing gas a lot and it doesn't smell that good, then you probably have a nut sensitivity and it's not doing well for your body at all. So you want to kind of take that out of diet. And it could be peanuts, it could be almonds, it could be cashews. But then that's a telltale sign for you, and you want to go to somebody like Dr. Stacy so you can get something to get your gut, you know, going in the right direction.
And that's when she talks about her detox. I know, but this is really good. So when she talks about her detox or the 21-day detox that Nick had, the whole purpose of that is to help reintroduce those foods. And we start with the ones that you think you're dying from, and then you get all of this. And so it's a good wake-up call because, I mean, you can't – that's fact.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, Mr. Knapp, I want to draw everyone's attention to – the wall over there. It says, tomorrow is not promised, and today is slipping away. I want to know what that means to you, how you came up with that. Also, mindset in the gym, and also community. What does it mean? What does community mean to you?
Well, this is been quoted 50 different ways, and we just put it up on the wall. I don't know. I think it's just the power of now. I mean, it's pretty literal. So I try to. I'm always focused on my personal journey. So I do. I think of how, as people, we're the sum of our thoughts, our beliefs, and our behaviors. So who I am today is simply something that's accumulated from, you know, say 5 years ago. So if it's a good thing, then yay, then I did some good things over the last 5 years to get there. So I'm hoping that my behaviors and my attitude today moving forward again will manifest itself into something greater. So it's just, you know, people, we have so much trouble focusing, you know. So and here it's really important that we focus. We have people with pain, and we have people that don't do things very well. So yeah, obviously it's you could get hurt if you're trying to work out and you're not paying attention to what you're doing. So, but you can take it and you can extend it beyond just that simple repetition or the set or the workout, that you just want to, you know, you just want to be in your moment, be the best you can right now. Don't flip people off on the road. It's, you know, you don't want to, you know, so, I guess that's just what it means to me. And hopefully, you know, it's up to everybody else to interpret, what it means to them. But, it's kind of a motto I live by. I can't do anything about yesterday. So, and I'm just gonna pray that maybe I'll wake up tomorrow. So, mindset. I guess, again, you mentioned just a personal journey. So it is. It's for this gym to have any success, it has to start from the internal components of it. Obviously, you have to have a great product, but you have to have people like, you know, Coach Dan and Coach Lauren and all of our clients and that make that mindset possible. So, you know, we talked about the key to any formula is results. And so when we can get people, you know, kind of buying into this whole meal by meal, rep by rep, day by day, and, you know, we start feeling better and we get more energy and we sleep better, I guess that's what I refer to as a mindset or being mindful, okay? How many times have you drove past an exit you were supposed to get off on, but, you know, you didn't run off the road? So, yeah, so we're kind of in autopilot a lot. So, you know, just maybe pumping the brakes every once in a while and taking a look around. And a workout's a really great opportunity for that. You know, I tell people, nobody can hurt you in here. And for the next hour, let's be unavailable to the world. So, and then so with community. So I think community, my personal definition of kind of also why we're here today. You know, just like you guys, we took time out of our days, out of our busy schedules, and there was no, you know, entry fee to get in here or whatever. I just feel almost a certain duty, almost a certain duty, but I enjoy it. I love being asked to even sit here with these experts. And so there's just a certain duty into sharing information that, you know, people always get, hey, thanks a lot for that advice. So, you know, I guess I get a little out of it as well. So community to me is whether it's one-on-one with a client or doing talks like this and sharing good, you know, information is best when shared. So that's what community means to me.
I've worked out like at Lifetime for about 10 years before here, and whenever I missed a workout, you know, no one would call me and say, where were you, you know? But with our small group here, if I miss a workout, I'm hearing about it the next day. I'm hearing about it like in 5 minutes, actually. So that's what community means to me. You know, when the alarm goes off, you get up, you go, and you actually, you're up before the alarm goes off, really. So I have one more question, and then we can open up questions for the audience to make sure we're out on time. So guys, I know this is one that all three of you are interested in, and the topic is eating organic. So should we be eating 100% organic? What if we can't afford it? What if it's not available? Is there something that's most important to be eating organic, like proteins or strawberries? Like, how would you approach the organic conversation?
Unfortunately, organic is so important because everything's dirty. Strawberries, he hit strawberries. Strawberries are a big one. Never eat a conventional strawberry. There's one of your golden nuggets. Organic strawberries. You can do your own research. You can go Google it. There's lots of great information about the dirt. They usually call them the Dirty Dozen, or they'll make other cute little names about some of the other stuff that you don't necessarily have to buy organic all the time. And it's totally farming techniques. How much pesticide, herbicide does it take to grow that? Can they do it clean? Because if a farmer can get away with not paying for pesticide or herbicide, they won't do it. They'll have clean product. They're not going to be certified organic because they can't certify their dirt. But you got to just do a little bit of research. But for me, it's strawberries. No conventional strawberries are dirty, dirty. You want some clean stuff. That's a big topic too. But yeah, you got to eat clean because of the hormones. Because you're going to end up like Nick over here, who's getting ready to sport a, you know, double D. But no, I'm just kidding. No. But again, it's just about education, and you can do a lot of that research on your own, and it's just technique. What does it entail to grow that cow, grow that chicken? We are very fortunate in this area. There's farmers markets almost every single day when that time of the year comes around. And don't be afraid to ask the vendor, hey, are you organic or are you not? And also don't shy away from when they're like, you know what, I'm not certified organic, but this is how I do it, because this is how unfair it is. They pay tens of thousands of dollars for that sticker. The dude spraying the poison, they don't have to say nothing. They don't have to put a sticker on. The people trying to do good by you pay for that sticker. So those farmers love interest. They want to know, hey, what do you use? What do you do? And they'll tell you the truth. And then you can get to know your farmers and have a really great place to shop on a weekly basis, and you're not spending more money. Sorry.
I have a very strong bench press, is what it is. If you guys could start passing in those evaluation sheets, then we can do our little door prize on time.
Oh, did you want me to say something? Oh, Dr. Stacy really summed it up. You know, the local farmers markets are amazing. You know, buy local, yay! Because, you know, they may not be paying for that sticker to say that they're USDA organic or anything like that. But like Dr. Stacy said, they will absolutely tell you what their practices are. And a lot of the local farmers, they have the same belief that we do, and they don't spray a lot of chemicals. They just don't have the money to be able to say that they don't do it. So just talk to them, because they would love to talk to you about it. And then buying local too, your produce is going to be fresher also. And it's not coming from some other country on a plane, train, and automobile, and then you know that you're getting, you know, the proper nutrients and that kind of thing. So if you want to, you can look into the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. I should have brought that little handout for you guys. That would be a great one to provide next time, so you'll know. But definitely strawberries, blueberries is on the Dirty Dozen, kale and spinach, and I think green apples.
And grapes
are on there. And then, you know, the clean 15, you know, if you can't afford to buy organic, then go to your local farmer's market, and guess what? You're going to save money too. So that's my take on it.
My thing on organics is, I don't know, about 20 years ago, I'm a big fan of Willie Nelson and John Cougar Mellencamp, and they were doing Farm Aid and kind of turned me on to it. That's going back to community. I want to buy from a farmer because, you know, they're local and they're working hard and they got dirt under their nails, and that's cool with me. I feel like I'm a part of something, you know, greater than myself. Again, not unlike tonight. Organic for me, again, I take people, it's all about needs. Yes, you want to get all the way to organic, but we got to be better tomorrow, you know? So again, where there wasn't a breakfast, plug a breakfast. And then, you know, just, you know, there's sometimes when you get all excited and you get pumped and you want to do everything, and then we kind of hit you know, we kind of hit some failures and things like that. So I'm all about progression. So what wasn't a breakfast today, make it a breakfast. What wasn't organic today, make it tomorrow. So.
Where's Matt? Okay. Okay. We're collecting the evaluations. Also, I want to make sure that I acknowledge Patty Wojcik in the back. Patty, can you say hello? And also Matt Kramer here. Matt, say hello. Patty's been my right hand for the last year and a half, and Matt Kramer is starting full-time on Monday. He's graduating like tomorrow or Saturday, right? Okay, so I'm interested in any of your golden nuggets. Would anyone like to share one of their golden nuggets? $1,250 worth. Organic strawberries, Lois, thank you. Hope? The berries, okay. Who else has a golden nugget? Ryan?
What I am today is a sum of.
Yeah. That's right. Are there any questions for the panel? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, she's asking, why does organic milk last so much longer than non? Because it's ultra, ultra, ultra pasteurized. So the cows ate a great diet. They did, you know, everything clean, but FDA regulations still demands that they pasteurize. Basically, they cook it to cook out all the pathogens, all the enzymes. So we didn't even talk about dairy. That's a whole nother subject, but anything that's on the shelf at your grocery store is, ew. I mean, you know, I don't know how everybody else feels, but it's not really good for you. Yeah, stay away. We do, now Michigan, you still are able to buy some raw dairy products. We do have teenage boys, one loves his milk. So we are able to buy raw milk products. That's a whole nother session. No, it wasn't. It was illegal. But that's why, because it's weird, isn't it? It lasts like a month. Yeah.
If you look at your label on your juices, it's non-pasteurized, and so it has all the I'll let you say.
Yeah. So just because of the food, well, they call it the cottage law, you have to put certain things on your label when, like Dr. Stacy said, I mean, you know, people that put a bunch of chemicals on it, they don't have to do special things, but we do. So you have to say that it could cause foodborne illnesses and, you know, your infants shouldn't consume it and that kind of thing, because it's raw. It's raw vegetables. It's raw the way that we were meant to consume it the majority of the time. So there's no chemicals in it. It's not pasteurized. We don't use the HPP process or anything like that. So our juice is not going to last 30 days. It lasts 3 to 5. That's it. And that's what a real fruit and vegetable, that's how long it should last, and herbs.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So her question is, if you're juicing, and why isn't it the same, you know, in terms of detoxing and just eating the vegetables? So you can do a detox on, you know, chewing your food and eating just vegetables and fruit and things that are clean and natural in nature. But if you want to really detox and cleanse your kidneys and your liver of all the toxins that are, you're not going to be able to get rid of all of them, but you know, we have toxins on our skin from the lotions, the fingernail polish, the shampoos, not to mention what's coming from the environment, from the food that we're taking in. I mean, it's everywhere. So if you really want to do a deep cleanse, you want to be able to focus on cleansing, detoxing, shutting down the liver, repairing certain organs, revitalizing your cells, revitalizing the energy from within, revitalizing your gut. And it's the quantity, absolutely. Right. Right. But if you look at our juice, it'll say it can have up to 10 pounds of fruit and vegetables in it per bottle. So wouldn't you love to be able to do that? Nobody's gonna eat a whole, you know, carafe or, you know, two or three big giant bowls of broccoli, right? But you will drink it in a juice and you get just as much. And you get the nutrients straight into your bloodstream.
Okay, let's give everyone a big round of applause. I am 2 minutes overdue, I'm very sorry. I take that very seriously. Next time I'll be on time. Thanks again for coming to Health Yields Wealth Detox for Life. Peak Wealth Management has another event coming up on June 30th at Fox Hills. We have our Meet the Manager event. And I know that you guys have things that are coming up too, and I'll put that in the email as a summary, okay? So once again, thanks for coming, and we appreciate it very much. Take your nuggets.
Hi guys, it's Nick again. I hope you enjoyed the event. We had a lot of fun putting it together and we learned a lot as well. Some key takeaways for me when it comes to what Ben had to say, the optimal time to work out is 5 p.m. Sadly, I don't know if that will ever be a reality for me the way my schedule works. I'm more of a 6 a.m. kind of guy. Ben also talked about mindset. You know, having that positive mindset and being on a quest for continuous improvement. I think about that every day. Coach Callie, a couple of takeaways from what she had to say that resonated with me. When you buy juice on the shelf at your local grocery store, you know, it's manufactured to sit there for months. Is it really the optimal type of juice that you want to have? The cold pressed method sits on the shelf for a maximum of 3 days. So that really is food for thought. Also, she talked about reading labels, and you know, if there's more than four ingredients in a product, or you can't pronounce the ingredients, it's something to consider. It may not be the best choice. And Dr. Stacy talked about supplements, taking a one a day vitamin versus taking whole food supplements that are actually made from food. The one-a-day type vitamin simply not absorbed by your body. So you think that you have this real quick and easy pill to swallow, but you're not really doing that much benefit for your body. And also she talked about farmers markets. I took my boys last week to go strawberry picking. We picked 30 pounds of strawberries. I'm not sure what we're gonna do with 30 pounds, but it was a lot of fun, educational, kids had a great time. And strawberries are actually the number one on the Dirty Dozen list. So that's a key takeaway as well. When you are buying organic, let's make sure that you're buying optimal organically. Okay, let's put a bow on this and talk about how does Health Yields Wealth tie into finding true wealth. And I think it's really simple. It's in the title, Health Yields Wealth. With your relationship, your happiness, and your longevity. If you're not healthy in body and mind, you're not at your best. And if you're not at your best, you're gonna have a hard time finding true wealth. That's it for me. If you've not subscribed yet, let's make it official and tap that subscribe button now. It's been my pleasure spending time with you today, and we look forward to seeing you next time on Finding True Wealth.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.